You know, it was a trip because I was, when I started going with the Lord, I still was thinking about the hood.
The first big thing that happened was my mother got murdered. Her, my dad, my aunts, uncles, everybody was heroin addicts, involved in drugs, and the life, you know, back in the 70s.
A youngster told you, hey, let's go to the bar.
But there was a homie with me. You know what's up, bro. If we're going some and they start tripping,
yeah.
You know what's up, bro. His homies said, what's up then? I said, what? And I started hitting him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Stumbling, but he's walking away. And then he gets shot from behind with the automatic.
Where were you going through that time? Like,
yo, what up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ya Stas Podcast. If you can see, I got a new look, November, you know, old Movember. Yo, but tonight is going to be super lit. We have a true miracle. If you don't believe in miracles, then you better stay tuned because we're going to show you a living miracle. But before we keep it moving, what's up, bro? How you doing, Laman?
Good, bro. I'm still, like, confused with your mustache, bro, but I'm good.
All right. Well, for the sake of time, let's introduce our special guest. And this is
yeah.
Our brother, Artie Sesma, and his wife, Marina. Yo, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming. I know you guys are busy. You know, your parents and kids are here in the studio behaving themselves. So shout out to the boys. We'll behave. And yeah, so we want to really emphasize on the miracle and what happened, you know, with Artie's story. A lot of people here in San Diego know that my boy over here is, God gave you a second chance, brother, right? But before we get into it, we just want to hear a little bit about your upbringing, you know, very brief, and then how you guys met and see how you came to the Lord.
You know, it was a trip because when I started going with the Lord, I still was thinking about the hood, the homeboys, you know what I mean? But I started going with the Lord and tell all the homeboys, like, what's better is if we go with the Lord, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's a little weird because I can't say a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, if you know what happened, they shot me in the head, you know? And, but I'm here, you know what I'm saying? I'm here. And I know that was the Lord. And
yeah.
So every day I have to be better. You know what I'm saying?
I know, bro. You say a lot that you trip, right? Like there's triggers, something that triggers you to get aggressive and you just want to throw blows.
Yeah.
Do you remember as a kid something that happened to you or some experience that it turned that on and that's been your struggle ever since?
Oh yeah. I think I was 5 and my dad, he always tell us what happened. So our little, there were
neighbors.
Yeah. Our friends and his other guy, he caught
a friend.
It was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we started, they wanted to hit me, you know? And I was like, oh, I didn't want to, you know what I mean? But what happened is, I started getting him. I was getting him. Bam, 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 bam.
You're 5?
Yeah, I was 5.
Well, your dad made you.
Well,
he taught you out.
That's how we.
That's how he taught you.
Yeah, he had to. We're guys.
Yeah.
We in the hood.
So it's a macho mentality, right? Like the how we grew up in the barrio, right? And just to make it super clear, people, his wife is joining us here because some, you know, Artie with the
that shotgun or gunshot wound in the head, obviously, you know, he can't express himself too well, but, you know, he can walk, he can talk by the grace of God. So, and also we want to hear, you know, her side of the story as well. But so, yeah, because I remember my tío, he would put gloves on me too, you know, and have me.
All of our dads. Yeah, my dad used to do the same thing, bro. He used to put kids in the house. My dad be like, beat them up.
Yeah.
Like, and I had to because dad's right there. Yeah. And then I would make him cry. And then my dad would like cheer him up before you went home. But, you know, I was 5.
Oh, yeah.
So you think that's what, like, impacted you since a kid, and then...
Sure. So what happened?
Well, leading to, you know, what he didn't share is he did grow up seeing a lot of violence in his home. You know, he's seeing a lot of fighting between his mom and dad, his dad beating up his mom, and, you know, out of his siblings, from what I understand, he witnessed most of that, you know. And
yeah,
so,
me.
Yeah, because he's the oldest.
He was the oldest.
Yeah, so he's seen his mother crying, bleeding. He's seen his mom alone, you know. And I think it really just messed up a lot of, you know, the way he perceives life and stuff.
Yeah.
And then growing up in, you know, he found his identity in the neighborhood. You know, he went out and that's where he felt understood because others had gone through the same thing, you know, and it was a normalized. So there he was, you know.
That part.
And in the hood, you have to we have to be better. Not good, but
tough.
Like tough.
Yeah.
Strong.
Exactly. And so nobody can get us. You know what I mean? All of us. And so we would go hit up every day.
And I hear you were good with your hands.
I was good with, like that. I was good. You know, it was a trip. Now, after they shot me, I can't really feel.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Maybe that was the Lord, bro. I don't know, bro. You know what I mean? Sometimes I say, man, you know, sometimes we get messed up. We do stupid stuff that we shouldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know the Lord. I know he loves. And so I think because a lot of people, gosh, you know, I hit a lot of people, gosh, I didn't care who. You know what I mean? If you're being a punk to me, I didn't care if it was a girl, a guy, whoever.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. But you think it was that anger that was built up in you that
was it?
That was it. Okay.
It was the anger that was validated, you know, like it wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like it was nurtured more than anything. It wasn't just he's an angry person, but it was like he's angry and it's okay. And it's pretty cool and it's awesome. And look at this guy, you know? So I think as he got older, understanding that that's not okay, you know, that's been a concept he's been.
He's been learning.
Yeah.
You know what, Artie? I was going to say that something that triggers in me that if I get upset, that I don't want to be like my dad. And it's no punch against my dad. My dad tried his best.
Yeah.
My dad, you know, from Michoacan, has that old school style, very jealous man. You know, he loved my mom the wrong way.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me to see that, and, you know, I'm a dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our patience is like, you know, it's like, it's everywhere, right? But and it's a tribute to my dad. My dad passed away. He's with the Lord now. But, you know, something that I know that my dad would validate for me would be like, mijo, don't be like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, I want my kids to be better fathers than me.
Absolutely.
And I don't care how, but they need to, because that's my wish. And then my dad, I've shared this story once before my dad passed away. He told me, he goes, you're such a better dad than I was. And for him to say that, it was just like, to me, it was like, whoa, because my dad's never said anything sweet. So it was like, when I heard that, it was better than Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, greatest compliment.
Better than money.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such a good feeling. And I wish that for my kids. Like, I sometimes see my kids get angry. I'm like, yo, like, that anger can take you somewhere so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's now it's like, you know, you going through those moments. When is it like a time where you said, you know what? This anger is going to get me in trouble. You know, and we don't learn, but when is that moment where you're like, you know what? You're probably already in your teens. You're fighting every day. Mm-hmm. You don't care. Somebody says something back. It's normalized. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be about it.
Yeah.
When did you notice, you know what? I'm just going to go and just, I'm going to start performing in the street. I'm going to start performing with my friends. When did that take place? When did your childhood go away?
When did I start doing that? When I was a homie.
When you stopped fighting and stuff, or?
No, when.
When he took the streets serious, like, you know what? This is.
First time.
Yeah. Like, when did he start, like, gangbanging, to say?
Oh, 13. Yeah,
13.
That was there.
Did you get jumped in?
We did a little one. Because it was the little homeboys.
It had little clicks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, we did it. So we were going to, all of us going to do it. But they already loved me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. I say, when are we gonna do it? And they say, yeah.
You're already the president.
You weren't one of them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So you had earned your stripes already.
You had validation.
I was ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every day. That's what I did.
Mm. So what about you, sis? Like, how was your upbringing? And
not as violent as his.
Are you from here, San Diego, too?
No, I'm from L.A.
Oh.
I'm from San Gabriel Valley, from a little town called Bassett.
Okay.
And Bassett. I grew up.
They're from L.A., too, over there. You guys know where Bassett is?
You guys know where La Puente is?
Where?
Yeah, right there. Right there. Those are our enemies. So I grew up, when I was little, the first big thing that happened was my mother got murdered. Her, my dad, my aunts, uncles, everybody was heroin addicts, involved in drugs and the life, you know, back in the 70s and early 80s. And me and my mom were asleep and someone came in and with the shotgun shot her. Her and her boyfriend was in the living room, shot him, killed him. And earliest memory is watching, I was sitting on my great grandmother's lap watching the cops come in, you know, and you see the yellow tape. So I grew up in that, you know, and from there, I moved with my father and he'd already found the Lord. He's already going to church and him and my brothers. And he got remarried and, you know, got challenging with my stepmom. You know, it's very difficult, you know, for a stepmother and she was still on drugs and stuff. So then as me and my brothers grew up, we didn't feel that love. We didn't have that nurturing, you know, person in our life besides my grandmother, but we weren't living with her anymore. And my brother ended up on the streets in gangs. And I ended up running away when I was 12. My brother ended up catching a life sentence when he was 15.
Wow.
And so we've kind of just been, you know, going that route. My brother was in prison. My oldest brother had ran away from home. I ran away from home. So I started doing drugs at 12. And couch surfing, sleeping in the parks, boosting. Yeah, kind of like that.
How old were you when your mom got murdered?
3 and a half.
Oh, wow. So, well, you don't remember, like...
No. I don't have too many memories. I just remember that was a big part of who I was.
Yeah. You remember your mom, though?
No. I have, like, a couple memories.
Okay.
But my brother tells me she was not a good person, so he's like...
You didn't miss out a lot.
Yeah, you're like, you know, I know you guys might. Because he's been in prison since he was 15. He's still there. So he was in the SHU program for a long time, Pelican Bay. So he has tapped into memories. He says he remembers crawling. You know, in that isolation, you go deep in thought. You know? So he's like, you know, you guys might have these ideas of who our mom was and what you missed out, but she didn't want kids, you know, it was hard for her, you know, it was good that she went when she did, you know, so, I mean, through it all, I have a piece about what I've gone through. No.
And what was it? What was the experience when you came to Christ?
Well, I was on drugs. Like, I wanted to go. So my big thing was I was on PCP one day, right? I was like 14. And I remember having like this epiphany, like with my cousin. I was like, this isn't right. You know, like I had been out of school for years already. And I was like, this is not normal. Like, people my age are reading books and they're like worried about the boy they like in school. And I'm like, I don't even know what day it is, you know, because I've been on drugs for like a long time at this point. And I said, I want to go back to school. That was my first thing. You know, I want to go back to school. I didn't think about anything else. I was just like, I want to be normal. So it took a while for me to get off of meth. Well, back then it was crystal, right? Crystal.
Yeah.
And then so I started just drinking and smoking weed. And I thought I was doing really good because I'm like off hard drugs. I'm just like, just this wild teen. And I moved in with my grandmother. And she said, if you come and live with me, you have to go to church once a week. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I'd get high before church and sit in the service. And, yeah, I was doing bad stuff in church. But I ended up getting sent to a winter retreat with a bunch of strangers in a minivan. And on the way up, I was like, what's this? Like, they had this music on. It was just, like, really, like, lame and just kind of, like, weird. It was really weird because, like, I'm literally from the streets, put in with a bunch of church kids going up a mountain with people I don't know, you know? And the first, I had met somebody there that had weed. So I was like, oh, cool. We're going to go up to the mountains, get high. We'll be good. Like, this is actually going to turn out fine.
We're planning ahead, huh?
Yeah. But see, at this point, I think I'm good because I'm in school now and I'm not doing hard drugs. So I'm a good person at this point. Like, I'm okay. But that first service, I went early because I didn't really know too many people. And they were like, after service, we'll go up to Nam. So I was like, all right. That first service, they're playing the music. They're praying at the altar. And I'm just like sitting there just waiting. And then I just start feeling like a tug, like a wrenching tug in my heart, you know. And I was just like, oh, my God, like, no, you know, like, I can't do this. And then I went to the altar. The service hadn't even started. I went to the altar and I was just like bawling my eyes out, just completely broken. Like, I want to cry just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember praying, saying, God, I can't give up weed. Cause you know, that's a very difficult drug to give up because it comes with a community, right? You're like a part of something.
Trust me, I was married to Mary Jane for a long
time. You know,
you're
gonna skip with me forever, right? Because yeah. It's not bad. It's,
I even thought about retiring, but like, I'm gonna retire, I'll be that old.
Same. So you have this idea, you know, and I remember I knew church, God, salvation, you cannot do that. Like, I knew that, you know. But I remember at the altar, I was just struggling, and the Lord was just really breaking me down, and He was just like, just take it one day at a time. Just give me today, you know. And I did. I surrendered my heart to Jesus. I got saved. I was 16, and I never looked back.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like,
right then and there.
Took away the
Oh, no.
Oh, you're still smoking weed at church?
No, I stopped, but I struggled.
Okay.
That desire was still there. The dreams were still there.
The dream.
The desire, you know, that took a while.
Yeah.
I'd wake up guilty, like, oh, I smoked weed in my dream. Forgive me, Lord, you know?
Did you find, like, a friend where you could say, hey, you know what, I trust this person? Like, did anybody hold you accountable?
Oh, the structure in that youth ministry then was very solid.
Oh,
they took me in right away. And I was, like, a lost soul. So I was just like, okay, you know, where do you want me? Where do I go? You know, what do I do? Like, yes, I'm a good soldier right away.
Nice. What about you, Artie? When was that time where... God took a hold of you?
Well, you know, it was a trip because my mom, she would tell about the Lord, and I was a homeboy straight up. But when we do that,
I would think about him. I mean, man, and I would do this.
You would pray.
I would do that, Lord, and I do what she was saying. She was doing. That's what I was doing.
Smoking weed.
CP.
That's what we did. Day.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
'90s dry. It was everywhere.
That's what we did. You know, and it's a trip because, man, bro. You know, when I remember they shot me when I was
15?
No, little.
14, 13?
Yeah.
Damn.
That was the first time.
Did they hit you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where at? No, like what part of
your body?
They shot me right here.
On his hand.
Shit.
Or they went to bucket.
No, no.
No?
No, no.
I thought you went to bucket.
Oh, when he... I think I did this because it was right here.
Oh.
Bam. But it just got me right here and it was gone. And then, and so they shot me another time.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was 15. That was two times. No, that one. That was.
You got shot twice.
No, that was five. And I mean, ten. Four. Yeah.
You've been shot four times?
No.
Or different?
No, it was three.
Three.
Now it's five times.
Yeah,
five. So you've been shot, like, five different occasions where...
Yeah.
Lord loves you.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. And so, you know, man, it was just... That's it's going to happen in the hood. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, like, it's nothing. It was gospel, you know what I mean?
So what would go through your head, bro? Like, would you think what's going to happen if I die? Or would you think about that? Or
no.
Or you just, like, you would get mad and...
Just go.
I'm going to get him back.
Let's go. I mean, we have to go.
Get him back.
You know what I mean? Or, pow, we're gone, you know what I mean? And you know, I was saying that man, after this, I was still about the Lord. I was saying, man, the Lord, He loves us, huh? And I was a homeboy, but I think, you know, what's a trip, bro? We just, that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that man, the Lord's real good, bro.
Mm. He's good. So, when was the day where He took a hold of you? Like,
when did you get saved?
How old were you?
Maybe I was like
27.
No,
look. Like you were like 28, 29.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was trying to go with the Lord. And I was getting my homeboys to go with me.
Wait, you know what happened when you got saved? When you turned your life around, you had that gun charge that you thought was going to get picked up that never got picked up. And you asked God to save you because you were going to be taken away from your son.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the. Okay. I was trying to remember
that's
his story.
Did you guys know each other yet?
No. So before I even moved to San Diego, he came to the church. But before that happened, he had got caught with a gun at True North.
Oh, at the bar?
At a bar somewhere.
Somewhere there.
And they got him. And so they were going to, he was waiting for them to pick up the charges, right? And so he prayed that God would save him. I think he was in the cell.
No. I was thinking about my son.
You were thinking about, yeah.
He was two. Yeah. He was two. And I was tripping. I said, I have to get my son. That's the first time I was
away from him.
Yeah. And I said, well, and I was tripping, bro. I was saying, man, what's going to happen to my son? And it did this. It was like when you get it right here, like you start tripping. How do you say that?
Like a panic attack?
No, like with the, like my
artist hat?
No, not like that. Oh. No, but the like this
or
like the Holy Spirit?
No.
Your heart was turning?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was saying, what about my son? You know what I mean? And it was a trip because the first time, because we were like this.
Arrested.
Yeah. After you go here, there, and then this guy's trying to, he started telling me about the Lord. And I said, why is he doing that? Why is he saying that? And my other friend, he would go with us sometimes. He's from this hood. It's remember he was going with you know him too,
the spiritual homeboys.
No, he's from
Tony.
Yeah, Simon. So he was there.
Oh, I know that.
And he said, "What's up, Grumpy?" And I said,
"Well, that was your nickname."
Yeah, they call me Grumpy. Yeah,
we'll see.
And they said, "What's up?" I said, "Hey, bro. I don't know what's gonna happen, bro. I got my son." He said, "You know what? You can go here when you're trying to get better. What is that?
Church?
No, but yeah, just go here, bro.
Go to the
rehab." He was telling me, yeah, that's what he was telling me.
Did you go to the men's home?
I did, but it was a trip because so what I did I give the feria to
you paid the bell.
The first time, that was the first time, because when every time I was,
it wouldn't give you,
you're gone.
Yeah.
Going, I'm going. And that was the first time I said, I told my Nana and Tata, and I said, go right here, Papa. And so, what happened?
I told your Nana.
Yeah. And I say, I have to get my son. And they said,
so here. The bell.
And that was the first time, bro. And then, so it was a trip because, so when I went there, I got a
lawyer.
Uh-huh. And he said, well, help. It's going to be this. And I said, can I give you Fedia? Yeah. He said, all right, man. And so we were doing that. And then I started going with the Lord. Where were we going before?
Yeah.
And
at the church, right?
Man, that's when I started go with him. That was it.
Mm. Didn't
do it no more. And then
they never picked up the charges.
Wow.
The lawyer's like, just keep paying me. They haven't picked them up yet.
And I stopped.
After a year, they didn't pick them up.
And I stopped
that.
And I started going with the Lord. You know what I mean?
So
that's where you guys met? At the church?
Yeah, we met at the church.
She was there.
You were visiting because you were from LA, no?
Well, so after I got saved, I ended up graduating high school. Like a miracle, right? I graduated high school. That was my goal. And then I ended up going to the Philippines as a missionary.
Okay.
For 2 years. And then from there, I went back home for like a year. And then I got sent to Mexico as a missionary. So I was visiting San Diego a lot because the training center that I was at was in like Rosarito. And when I finally came back to like be a part of my country again, I came to San Diego because I was acclimated to the church already.
So moving forward, you guys got super involved, right?
I was born involved, right?
That's
so when I got reborn, saved.
Reborn.
Yeah, reborn involved. But he got super involved. I think what brought us together was our good looks. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, hey.
Of course.
Yeah, both of you are good looking people. So you make a very good couple. And you make very good kids too.
I think what really brought us together was that we really love the streets and souls. Like that's really what we have in common. We've always had that in common. We're both really open to like who, you know, having people live with us. We've had people, we've had so many people live with us. Like church people.
Crazy ones.
Homeless friends.
My homeboys.
Yeah. But we both have had that bond to help people. Like, we know that that's part of our
purpose. Yeah, you guys weren't intimidated by it.
No.
Hey, bring them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I know already that you were expecting the same loyalty from the church, like it was in the hood, right?
Yeah, all day.
But you didn't see it.
No. You know what's the trip? Because I was thinking about the Lord. I said, well, what happened? You know what I mean? And the Lord, he told me, he said, people are people. And so if you're the big homie, like, you do this, that's it.
You call shots.
That you do this, that. And that's what we have to do it. You know what I mean? And so people, they're not the big homies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So they were trying to tell you what to do, but then they're not in that position, right?
Well, I think it's because I was mad. You know, I was. The Lord, he told me, just love people. If it's not, you know, I've been telling a lot of friends trip about this, man. So in my head, when they shot me, bro, it's real hard for me. You know what I mean? What happened to me? Sometimes I start like,
seizures, right?
No, the anxiety and anger is worse after his gunshot.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they give me something a little bit.
So it takes a little medication to.
So I can be.
Get him out.
Yeah.
I don't like a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's been good to me now. I've been a little bit better.
So let's talk about that when that happened. So I know the story goes that, you know, they kind of put you on blast at the church. It really bothered you.
Oh, yeah. I was ready to go.
Can I ask something real quick? So when you say the church on blast, do you mean like a specific person? Because when you say church, I feel like you're talking about everybody. No, we're talking about this congregation.
Oh, okay. So it was like a particular dude? Or like, I don't understand the question. Like,
no, I'm saying, so that at the congregation, like I was part of that congregation. I didn't meet them there, but because they were already gone. But they were a big part of that. Like, they were very involved. Yeah, like. Artie even has videos up on YouTube. We'll
probably I did see you preach.
Yeah, he was preaching and all that. Like, he was super involved.
On the
right.
Yeah.
And there's some happen, right? That I'm saying he got put on blast.
I mean, there was like a lot of that in subtle ways.
Just kind of normal at church a little bit.
Yeah. Which is, but it was a little, you know, it's a little more, it can be direct sometimes. And I know sometimes it's like, oh, well, if it's for you, it's for you. But no, I was like,
I get it. Yeah.
Just come and tell us, you know.
And you know what's the trip now? Because I was thinking about that and I said, man, you know what, man? When I got mad, I messed up. It was them. It wasn't them.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know that now. They're just people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So like when I was little, and if you were the big homie, then you're all that. You know what I mean? And if you're not doing that, then you start tripping. Now I know. People are people.
But at that time you didn't know.
No, I was tripping.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that speaks highly of you, bro. I mean, the fact that you are aware of it and you holding yourself accountable, yeah, that's like mad respect for you, bro. So you go, you're like, man, forget this. You go back to the old ways. You start hanging out with the homies, drinking again. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're partying. Mm-hmm. And you were out in Chula Vista, right?
Yeah.
You got faded. You stopped praying, right? Like, you did.
I was tripping, but I was like, I was like, man, the Lord's gonna get me. You ever seen?
Man, I was like Jonah, right? Like Jonah, like running from God. He's like, God's gonna get me.
And then you start doing this or whatever you do, you know what I mean? And then after what you do, man, I'm sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord.
Oh, hangover, all crudo and stuff.
I mean, I do all this stuff. You know, we do all the other stuff too. You know what I mean? Because that's the homies do.
Yeah. I mean. So you ended up one night going out and you went to the bar over here.
So he went to Chula Vista. I thought he was getting a tattoo.
I was.
So he's like, I'm going to go get my tattoo. I'll be home in a while. So I'm like, 10 o'clock, me and the kids are going to bed. And he wasn't there when I woke up, which isn't like a panic button. It's like, oh, you know, he's out there somewhere. He'll come home soon. Usually by 9 o'clock in the morning, he's walking up the hill or something's happening.
So this is something that, that happened before.
It wasn't like every weekend, but occasionally he'd go too far and he'd be, yeah, he's out there. So he went out. The tattoo appointment got canceled, or it was like a mix-up. He ended up in Chula Vista, old, you know, on 3rd, drinking. Bars closed at 2. I think that one closed like at 1, huh? Anyways, around there. So he was going to go home, and then a friend seen him, and he's like, oh, let's go downtown. There's a place that stays open. And so that's what they did. They went down to this bar on 22nd, and...
Because I know, you know how I know him?
From church. Somebody that was from church.
So another guy, another.
Two Jonas out there. He was a moro, you know what I mean? He was a little guy, man. I remember him when we were going.
I didn't know until later, like he's already home and healing. And he's like, no, that's so-and-so's son. I was like, what are you doing hanging out with the kids? You know, that's crazy.
Oh, so a youngster told you, hey, let's go to the bar over here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was with, I don't know when or how, but there was a homie with me. And so I said this is me like this. Look, you know what's up, bro. If we're going somewhere and they start tripping,
yeah,
you know what's up, bro. Hey, ain't nothing for us, bro. He told me, okay. Let's go. And so that's what happened. I seen some guy, you know, I said something, and I did this one. How do you do that?
Give him the bird.
Yeah.
Were they mad dogging you, or what caused the
friction? I know him.
Oh, so you had like little... history and
something to happen.
Little beef. Has some beef going.
So his homies said, what's up then? I said, what? And I started hitting him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what happened. And you know, we were going hit up, they said. I don't remember after
it was
that.
A big brawl in the back of the bar.
So after that, some guy did this for me.
Yeah, well, you were trying to leave.
Yeah,
he's getting escorted out. He crosses the street. Everyone else stays on this side of the street. He crosses the street, then he gets pursued from behind, and you could see he's drunk, like he's like stumbling, but he's walking away, and then he gets shot from behind with the automatic, right? The automatic
head. Yeah, it's yeah, that,
you know?
Like, yeah, it just releases like,
yeah,
bunch of shots there.
You could see it.
Yeah, I saw it. You showed me the
videos.
Yeah, you showed me the video, and that's crazy because it was like from down up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just dropped. Boom.
Yeah.
So you got shot how many times?
Two.
Twice.
Well, they hit you twice, but it was more shots.
There's nine shots, and he got hit twice. Yeah.
One in the leg, right?
One in the leg.
And then one in the head.
One in the head.
What do you remember from that? Like,
I don't remember.
Nothing?
No.
So you remember fighting at the bar? You don't remember fighting at the bar? You remember the argument?
No. I just, what they told you? Me.
Oh, okay. So basically your next memory is waking up in the hospital. You don't remember dreaming anything or?
It was a trip. There was one. I was with her and we were with the Lord where we go.
At church?
Before we was at.
Yeah.
And you were like the, remember you were doing all the stuff?
Media?
Yeah, doing that.
The media?
And you were telling how you do it. And I was like,
at church?
It was. It was a trip.
The memory.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was like a vision, right?
But it was. It was. It was like
a grail.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jesus was there.
He was there all day, my boy.
He was on fentanyl in the hospital, so that was hardcore for him.
Oh yeah, yeah. He had, update him.
He had a lot of terrors and stuff on all the medication he was on.
I don't like it.
What did the doctor say?
Well, so when I went to church, to his dad's church, and I was with his brother. And
so that's Sunday morning.
I mean, the kids. I was with his brother.
He hasn't shown up yet. You don't know anything about him.
I'm texting him. His phone's going straight. I'm calling him. His phone's going straight to voicemail. So I text, we're at your dad's church. You can meet us there. It starts at 10, 10:30, or whatever the time was. So we're sitting in service, and it's worship. And then his older son texts me. He's like, hey, you know where my dad's at? And I was like, no. No, I don't. I'm at church. And he goes, can you go outside? And I was like, oh, okay. Like maybe he need, you know, I was telling him, I usually tell him, come meet us at church or whatever. So I go outside and he goes, there's a video and they think it's my dad. I think it was him that told me, or Irie. Someone told me, watch this video, and they sent it. It was either my stepson or my sister-in-law. And he was with another friend from church. Another friend from church sent them the video because he was there that night and witnessed everything. And
so it was a bunch of backsliders.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ain't a Jonah.
He knew it. So he got a hold of Irie, my sister-in-law, and told her, like, hey, I think this is your brother. But he knew it was him because he was there.
Yeah.
He got the video because there was somebody on site filming that put on YouTube before anyone even knew.
That is.
Yeah. They had the police, like they had the videos, like, before anybody else picked it up, it was like this YouTube people that got it.
I want to see it.
Yeah. And you could see. So it goes, is this Irie? And it was the back. He was on the ground, blood. And he's like trying to touch the back of his head. And you see the, like, the cops right there. And I was like, yeah, that's Irie.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it was like, all right. You know, all the family's outside now at this point. And I go, let's go to Marty, my brother-in-law's. I'm like, let's go to Marty's house. I told them, take the kids. I'll meet you guys there. And let's figure out where he's at, you know. So then we start calling the hospitals. They're not releasing any information. And we're like at the house in the front yard, you know, trying to protect the kids from knowing anything because we don't know anything yet. So we don't know what. We don't know if it's fatal or not.
Where were you going through that time? Like,
You know what? I'm a really like.
Because right now you're sounding like brave. Like at the moment you were.
Yeah, that's, well, I compartmentalize, I think, because of what I went through as a child.
Yeah, for real.
I kind of process the information first before I let my emotions lead me, you know? So how I'm talking is pretty close to how it was the day of, like, okay, let's get things in order first, you know? I did break down after I spoke. I was crying, you know, throughout, of course, but I really broke down after we went to the precinct. That was closest. I go, let's find the police station closest to where he got shot. So we went and we had to ask like some cops to like, hey, my husband got shot last night. We don't know where he's at. So the detectives, homicide came out and they were on the homicide unit and they were like, okay, well, he went to the hospital. He got shot in the head. There was a surgeon that took him in and said he's not going to make it. But the doctor that took over said he's going to make it. He's like, and they argued if he was going to make it or not. Because this one, the first one saying, just let it go. He's not going to make it. The quality of life's not there. And he was pretty much like, let's close this up because he's not going to make it. Because he's on life support, you know. And then the other doctor's like, no, I've seen people pull through and he's going to make it. And so he took over. The one that said he's going to make it took over.
Who's that? Who's that
guy? They're from UCSD.
Let's go with them and say, yeah. Thank you.
We need to go with them no more.
Yeah. So homicide.
Quality of life. That one got me like.
Yeah.
Like, you making choices over here? Like, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, that's their job. Their job is to decide, are we going to, is the quality of life there? Are they going to do the individual service by keeping them? Or are they going to do a disservice to them by keeping them?
I think that's where you see the hand of God, though.
For real.
Yeah. Because it could have been reversed. Yeah. He's going to make it. Well, I'm taking over. He's not going to make it, you know? But the doctor saved his life, kept him alive, and he pulled through, you know? And the whole time I was at the hospitals and stuff, I was like, what's he going to be like? Nobody can tell you. No one can tell you what's going to happen with the brain because nobody knows. No brain surgeon, nobody knows.
Yeah, there's no expertise.
There's no expertise because the brain is just a whole different organ.
Did they explain how the bullet, like how, where, like exactly where you got shot?
So the bullet, like here's his skull, right? And it hit, you know, this is the front, this is the back. It hit the side, crushed, exploded. Parts of it came off. Parts of skull came off. Parts of skull went in. Parts of bullet went in. So it wasn't like a clean bullet that just went through him. It kind of like, you know, exploded.
So when was the time where your emotions just came out?
After the detectives were explaining, like, we don't know if he's going to make it. This doctor is hopeful, but we're staying on because, you know, he might not. Like, homicide only stays on if there's a death, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when me and Irie left, that's when I just, like, broke down. I was like, oh, my God, you know? Because I know what it is to lose a parent through gunshot, mm-hmm. you know, through violence. I know what it is to grow up with that. And even worse, they have memories. They have a bond. Yeah. Now, that's even harder. So I was like, God, please, I don't want this life. I don't want to go through this, you know? And I'm like, so I was really, honestly, my feelings were really angry towards him because I'm like, why didn't you go out? You know, I was just like, I had to go through a lot of those feelings, you know?
Did you have support? Anybody supporting you through?
Oh, I had so much support. So much. I mean, even I had already left the ministry that I was a part of. Everyone came back and just like wrapped their arms around us. Everyone.
I saw some pictures that it was gang of people outside the hospital.
I was getting so much support and it was very overwhelming. You know, I was really trying my best to be grateful. I wanted every single person to know, thank you. Like, if you're praying for us, the way you're loving on us, my children. So then there was a few guys that he had influenced in the church that started like a prayer chain and sort of like these prayer nights. And every night, like around 9, they'd get together and pray through Zoom for him. And I said, you know what? Let's do a prayer night on the Thursday after he got shot. Let's do a prayer night at the hospital so everyone can participate and be a part of what's happening. And that day he had brain surgery. They had to pull out the pieces and they were they put a metal plate and they sewed up his head, you know?
Wow.
So yeah, we had like over 200 people show up. You know, and just be there to pray. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And bro, when you were in recovery, when did you start noticing, whoa, I can't communicate? Like, when did you notice that?
He doesn't know yet. No, I'm kidding.
Because, you know, every time I talk to you, you always tell me, bro, I'm like, I'm trying to say this.
Yeah.
And say it. So when did you... How far after we're like, whoa, I can't communicate like I used to communicate.
Remember it was the thing that was...
So he had... he had the... I forgot what it's called.
Breathing tube?
Yeah, the breathing tube. And he was at UCSD. We have SHARP. So SHARP is like, release him. And UCSD is like, once we take the tube out and we put the trach in, because they had to put a trach in, we can release him. And so that was like... that Saturday after, I think, something like that.
Why? Why'd they have a breathing thing? Because
he couldn't breathe on his own.
Okay.
Yeah, so everything was a step. Everything was like, we're going to intubate him. And he would wake up and try to take it out. But if he took it out, he wouldn't be able to breathe. His brain wasn't there yet. So it was like waiting for him to open his eyes coherently.
Would I get crazy?
Yeah, I was getting crazy, like really crazy weird. Like I'd sit there and he'd grab my hand and like crush it you know, so they had to put mittens on him because he was trying to take things out. And he's not.
Remember that?
He wasn't all there.
You remember that?
No, he wasn't all there. He was like medicated and stuff.
Wow, so, that's crazy.
Yeah. So he just, you know, when he went to Sharp and he had the trach in, that's when he was like starting to wake up and really be like, his friend Rascal would come every day. And I, when he seen him, Rascal came, he was all dirty. I'm like, dang, bro, you could have at least changed, you know? He started laughing and I was like, oh, whoa, he's here. Like himself.
He acknowledged everything.
Yeah, he's actually here. And he was even like, you know, like they have this little inside thing and he did that. And I was like, okay, it's going to be okay. He's here, his personality's here. And that's what my prayers were. I was like, God, please just bring him along. As long as he can guide and direct the kids, that's all that matters. You know, as long as he can be that father to them that they need. It doesn't matter if he can walk, can move his arms, as long as he can communicate and love on them, you know, we can get through this. And that's, you know, little by little, he gained function.
Yeah, and I love my sons, man. I love them. Man, I love my I love my boys so much. They know me. They know like that. They know that.
And see what I see your heart, bro. Like you got a kind heart, but it seems like you've been damaged along the way
a lot.
You know, through your life, and what I see happening with us in our culture is that we grow with that machista mentality, like machismo, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can't express our feelings when we're kids because their pops are like, nah. Don't be a little punk. Don't be a little girl, you know, man.
Yeah,
up.
Exactly.
We go to the streets, forget about it. You can't show no signs of weakness. You can't be like, yo, homie, I'm sad. I'm sad about the whole, like, you know, or hey, homie, like, you know, this girl hurt my heart, homie. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, homie, don't be a punk. Yeah. And then,
what's up, there, homeboy? What you doing?
I'm there right now. I'm gonna cry. Hey, homie, let me borrow your shoulder, homie, so I can get high enough. And then we give our life to God, and then we go to the church. And then you be like, go to the leader, you know, your brother, whatever. Be like, yo, bro, you know, I'm going through trouble. I'm fighting with my wife a lot, or hey, I'm always sad, bro, or I'm getting anxious, or whatever. They're like, hey, well, pray, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or fast.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that
I start being grumpy again.
Yeah.
And I know you talk about a situation where, and it's on video too, because someone hit me up on Instagram, because you know you did me a favor to borrow your good looks to rep the merch.
Thank you.
By the way, go to Fairwear to get your merch. You know what I'm saying? And they said, hey, that dude hits women. And they sent me the video and stuff, and I was like, what? And I told you about it, and you're like, bro. And I see the heaviness in your heart, like. You regret that, but, you know, you were drunk. I saw the girls, like, point, like going at you, so you just, like, bam, got a cold one. And, but that's something that, well, people are always going to try to bring the past and bring us down, you know.
For sure. And I get mad when somebody say something like that. If they know me, I'm not just going to just hit you.
Yeah,
but if you trying to get me, and I'm drunk, or just in the hood, I'm one of them guys. If you trying to get me, I'm gonna get you, and it's not. I'm trying to be better so I could. If somebody tripping like that, and how could I be better? You know what I'm saying? How
he wants. He's trying to learn. He's always been trying to be better in that way, to learn to walk away and humble himself, you know. That's the struggle because of the way he grew up and what was embedded in him. Immediately, he feels regret, though, you know, when that situation happened. I had no idea what was happening. I was there with my kids. We were having a family night at the Padres Stadium, and I was really upset with him because he left us. know, I'm very strong. I can handle it. But he had the keys to the car.
That's what made you upset.
I was upset because he left us, because all my stepson and my boys were there, and it was supposed to be our family night, you know? And then he seen friends and started drinking, and it was like one. And then every time he came, it was like a new drink. And I was like, this is not okay. Like, this is not what we're doing, you know? And after the, he missed the whole game. I don't know what, he was with his friends. I don't know what he did, but I'm a real Padre fan. Like, I love watching the game. So I was like, I'm not going to get up. We paid all this money to watch the game. So my stepson's like, let's just go home. Like, I don't, what are we going to do? Our phones were dead. Like, it was just horrible. So when I finally met up with him, I was angry. And he's like, oh my, and he was like anxious and like, oh my God, oh my God. And I was just like, I don't want to hear it, dude. Like, I don't want to hear nothing from you. Like, I can't believe you. I'm on this whole other trip. And he's like, just did this terrible thing that was on video that we didn't know it was on video till later. But, you know, like,
man, video people, man, bro,
it was a really hard time for me too, because that is something I'm not okay with, you know. And it was just like immediate regret, you know. And he's like, oh my God, what am I gonna do, you know, like, just. And I'm like, I don't know, you have work tomorrow, you know. I'm just thinking, I don't even know what he's doing. So people start calling me like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, he left me for a while, but we're home. You know, I had no idea that he had gotten into this situation. And it was horrible. And then when they picked up the charges, like 8 months later, we thought it was like, okay, it's over. They picked up the charges. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to go to prison. Like, this is, it was really trying time for me and our marriage, you know.
And this is the period when you were backsliding, right? Before I shot.
Yeah.
Man. Well, we're running out of time as always. So I know you guys been up and down, but we see the hand of God.
Yeah.
For reals.
In your lives, and also Artie, she wrap that shirt, because I want to use that time for him to.
Oh, do you even have any of these shirts left?
No. What is that?
It's his brand. He's always wanting to. Printing out shirts.
I was before. Now it's hard for me now.
Well, you know,
we're gonna do something.
Yeah.
You know what? I was gonna say something real quick. A little while ago, you said something about how you love your kids, and bro, you know, I got boys too.
Yeah.
You know, I got two boys.
Yeah.
You got three boys, right?
Yeah.
Three boys. And, you know, as fathers, we're always going to feel like we're behind the ball.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do this. And I messed up doing this. And, you know, he knows, you know what I mean? So it's like, I get those feelings too.
Yeah.
You know, but we have an opportunity to leave Jesus as their inheritance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And say, hey, I've tried it without Jesus.
Yeah.
And I went through this road like this.
Yeah.
You know, and with Jesus having that faith, you know, like the other day, I love that I have a son, Benji. He's like, he can be super religious, which I don't like. You know what I mean? He'd be like, hey, Dad, that's not godly, you know? And I'm like, hey, calm down. You know what I mean? Like, calm down. But it's something where I want him to have a personal relationship.
Yeah.
Because our kids, they run with our faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One day they need to choose their faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
All right. And also to create awareness too, like, yeah, you gave your life to God and all that, but those triggers are still there, you know?
Still.
Triggers are still, and there's a lot to work to be done, you know?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there's that misconception that when you go to church and you accept the Lord as your savior, you've come to the better place, which is true. But that's just the beginning of the work that needs to be done.
100%. The beginning.
The very beginning. So, you know, I think a lot of times we are misguided in the church. We're told to just pray about it. There was a lot of issues with him over and over in the ministry, you know, because we were both leaders. We were leading the young adults. We led the street ministry. We did a lot of stuff together. But he had a lot of ups and downs, a lot. And I was very like, okay, like, what's up with this? Yeah. So I'd go to our leaders and be like, I don't know, you know. And I remember one time our leader was like, I just, what do we got to do to just make this better? Just like fix it. And I was like, it doesn't work that way, you know. And I didn't understand mental health or any of that stuff back then. So now I do, but he needed more, you know, the therapy that comes with it, the personal work, you know. And but the way we're misguided, I'm like, what I did was just do what I was told, you know, pray, read, and learn as I went. But not everyone is, I gotta say, very young. You know, others go through some heavier things that last longer. And so anyone finding their salvation, we also need to work on ourselves on that journey right now.
That happened to me real quick before we jump in. I was having trouble with my marriage, and I would go to the altar when they did the altar calls, and I'm praying, I'm fasting, and nothing's working, to the point where I had to go to therapy. You know, and that's something that the church is like, oh, you're going to therapy, you don't trust God, you don't trust Jesus.
Yeah, crazy.
You know, exactly. Yeah. But through that, God has bring the healing.
Yeah.
That's where he's answering the prayers. I'm giving you the tools for you to do the work and you to get to know yourself and to love yourself.
Exactly.
Because in order to love yourself, you got to know yourself. You can't love something you don't know.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, so we got time for the five yestas.
We'll do them real quick. Okay. So at the end, we do the five yestas questions. I'll ask them super random. Okay. There's no wrong answer. But we always do it at the end. So real quick, question number one. I don't know why I put this one down, but I did. How do you manage your anger? I don't know why I put this. I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but
the Holy Spirit, bro.
Like, how do you manage your anger when you're getting upset? What do you do? Is there an escape? Like, is there an escape? Like, oh, emergency? Like,
for me or him?
Both, maybe, because you guys are one flesh.
When I get angry, I yell. Yeah, I'll yell.
But what's your escape? Like, how do you manage it?
Oh, I stop and I'll breathe and I think about how important is this?
Okay.
Is this going to make me regret more or is it something that I need to express?
Okay.
And then I gauge it off of that.
Okay. How do you manage it?
I'm a tripper.
He just goes off.
He throws blows. He'll knock you out.
And then he's like, I'm like, you can't get like that. He's like, well, you know, I messed up in my head.
I mean, okay, so I manage by walking away. So it's just an example, right? Okay, I'm going to take a break. Or if my wife gets upset, I'm going to give you your time. Because it's okay. I love her. I love my wife. I'm not divorcing her, but I'm giving her space. Because, bro, our mind is our own world.
Yeah.
Like, you have your own thoughts.
Yeah.
And I think if you hold in your anger, I think it's kind of worse. I mean,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you gotta be able to process those emotions.
Manage. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, we gotta know how to process them.
Yeah. Okay.
See.
That's dope. Question number two. What's a red flag for your friendships? What is a red flag for your friendships?
Where do I go? Where I at?
To his old places, right?
Yeah, in the hood, the whole place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a red flag for me is if you're more concerned about us doing something and not about my kids. Because I'm very, like, focused
family.
On our family, you know. And I'm cool with, like, the lunches here and there or whatever. But if it's, like, that's all, it's not, yeah. Most of my friends are moms.
That's dope. Okay, question number three is a food question, okay? So what do you prefer, pozole or menudo?
The one you do.
Pozole.
Pozole, okay. With the corn, with the maíz.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, fire. Con chile?
All day. All day, my
with limón.
Oh, you have to.
Oh, yeah.
That's... Tortilla, you dipping the tortilla in there?
Or tostada?
Tostada.
Tostada.
Exactly. You slam like tostada. A dozen of.
You want the crunch.
Hungry, bro.
Bro, my mom makes this chile, bro. Man, with the tostada. Frank. Say goodbye. Your mad go. Your anger goes away, bro. Yeah. With the pozole.
Exactly. Like.
Yeah. Okay. Question number four. John 15:12. Man, I wrote these down yesterday. Okay, I didn't plan ahead. So So John 15:12 says, my commandment to you is, this is Jesus speaking, love each other as like I have loved you. What does that passage mean to you?
Say it again, please.
Love each other like I have loved you. Jesus is saying that. What does that mean?
You do that.
Okay. I think it means to love with forgiveness.
Love.
Yeah. We know we will hurt each other or be offended at some point, but there's forgiveness immediately, you know, if you're truly trying to love.
And real quick, like, I think what's super powerful about this whole situation of your accident is that you forgave the little homie that shot you, no?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a deeper story in all that.
I know.
That's crazy. That's another.
Or his mom, the connection, all of that is like.
We got to do another podcast for that.
They love the Lord, and I just tell them I love them too. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Straight up.
Yeah, we got to do a second part on this one.
Yeah.
Okay, question number five, the last question. How or what is the best way to lead the family? To lead the family, lead your boys. Like, what's the best way?
The first side is the Lord.
Yes.
With him. Mm-hmm. That's the first stuff.
Mm.
That's the first for me. I have to be like that. You know what I mean? For me.
Yeah, keeping the Lord in the center of everything.
Yes.
Yeah, and keeping that conviction, making sure the kids understand and are aware of it. You know, because we can easily just go about, we're a sports family, very involved in sports, but keeping God in the center of even that, you know?
Yeah.
Dope, bro. That was the last one.
All right. Well, thanks to our crew for giving us the time. Hey, make sure you give us a like, subscribe, comment, share, do all that, because what God did with this beautiful family is super powerful. And, yo, make sure you go get your merch at Fairware, and then we're going to do something with my boy Artie, too, Sons of God. Yeah. So we'll see you on the next one. Peace out, y'all.